Good evening, everybody. Yes.
Okay.
No problem. Says I'm. When was it? Yesterday, I went to the palace, to the other side of town, to give a shiur. So this rabbi in shul is. I told him I have to go. I cannot give the small shiur. I'm giving after the third minion because I have to get to the other side. Says, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going to give a shiur. Says, how much do they pay you? He says, don't pay me. He says, they have to pay you. What do you mean they don't pay you? He says, well, I don't do it. Baruch Hashem, I got my parnosa. I don't need to have parnosa from this. This is not a... No, they have to pay. They have to appreciate it. He says, what can I say? You know, everybody looks at things in a different way. I think I'm privileged to give shiurim and I don't need the money. Baruch Hashem, I've got my parnosa. I'm not going... This is not going to be my parnosa. Baruch Hashem. My parnosa comes
we
from,
appreciate with
from a
faith,
different way. Anyway, so talking about paying, so it's okay. You can raise the salary next week, no problem. Zero plus zero is a lot of money. Okay, Parashat Naso. We are now a few days before Chag HaShavuot, Matan Torah. And we all know that in order to get there, we have to prepare ourselves. And talking about preparation, a few years ago, somebody sent me a very interesting thing about... I think even we talked about it, about climbing the Everest. Climbing the Everest is something very complicated. It's not easy. You have to prepare yourself. People are preparing themselves for 3 months to have to be there in order to climb to come to the top of the mountain.
Right.
Ask them. I've got no problem. It's not, nothing is tickling me to go and up the Everest. The thing is that people really invest a lot of money in it and training and things.
Yeah, that's one of the on their bucket.
You know why? Because the air is very rare there. And if they go too quickly, they can...
I know. I just said,
so they have to do it in... They have to do a good preparation.
Then they have a stage which they call it the death zone. You're not allowed to be there more than 24 hours. Because the air is very thin, you cannot survive there. In other words, 24 hours you've got to climb up the last bit of the mountain, put the flag or whatever, and go down. Now, what's happening there is that this is literally climbing on bodies. You know, some people in life, they're climbing up in the ladder of success, and they don't care that on the way they climb and step over bodies. And this is really happening when you climb the Everest. At the certain stage, you cannot be tied to somebody else, because if somebody, Chas v'Shalom, falls, if he's tied to others, they're all going to fall and die. So each one is by himself, for himself, and climbing. And most of the people, they just don't really care about others. Their goal is they want to get to the top. That's why they prepare themselves, that's why they're there. And on the way there, you can see dead bodies. And the dead bodies there, nothing is happening to them. It's like sleeping people. Why? Because there are no animals there, no birds, nobody can survive at that height. Anyway, this guy from Adyukhali University here in Atzeria, is it called? IDC. He was a student, I don't remember what he was, 24 years old or something like this. And he also had a dream to climb the Everest. And he prepared himself and he's there. And they are on the last day when they go to the peak up there. And then he goes with another guy. And on the way, this guy leaves him and goes by himself. And he's alone there. And on the way, he passes by two bodies. And he goes on and then he sees a third body. But this body, he thinks he's not dead. So he comes closer and this guy is somebody he knows from the camp. An Indian guy, I don't know what from there. And now he has to decide. Wow. 300 meters before the top. What am I going to do?
Rescue this guy?
Am I going to rescue this guy? Which, by the way, is very risky. It's not easy. This guy is almost dead. And if you are going now to schlep him down, you are really risking your life. And from the other side, you know, who cares? All the others going up, they don't care about those people. He knew the risk. He's there. I want to climb and be on the, that's why I came here. You know, I'm not going to have another chance. This is not just something that costs a lot of money, a lot of preparation, and you cannot do this. So he decides, his Jewish neshama decides that he has to save this guy. The guy is not Jewish, doesn't have, he's a human being. And they climb down, and on the way, he really feels very bad. They succeed to get there, and he saves this guy, which has got already the lungs and diseases and things, and he also has to lie in hospital. And when we look at it and we see this guy had to make a decision, which is not an easy decision. For us here to sit and listen to, oh, of course, what do you mean? You have to save life. This is, first of all, he wanted to get to the top. That's the first. Then secondly, it's not so simple to take somebody down from the mountain. It's going to, it's hard enough to do it by yourself, that you take somebody else. So, then I read another article about Everest, and they called the let's say, the highest dump of the world.
The highest what?
Dump.
Dump. Like a garbage place. The top, on the top.
Dump.
On the top. When you go on the top, first of all, it's the highest graveyard, and also the highest dump. The bodies, they're lying, and they look like sleeping, because, as I said, you freeze.
Yeah, well, is there food to take them down? And
it's too high.
Them?
Maybe it's too complicated to do an operation like this. Whoa. I don't know. Anyway, it looks like you have torn flags and torn tents and whatever you do there, or dirt all over the place. That's the way it looks on the top of the Everest. Now, let's talk about climbing a different mountain. We are going to climb the mountain to get to Torah. Our mountain of Sinai. And look how different is the way we do it to the way they do it. We counter Omer in the idea that we are not alone, that we are a part of a whole, we are a part of a congregation, we are a part of a society, and we build ourselves in order to help others. That's the goal. We go to the top together. We don't leave bodies on the way. If somebody's got a problem and needs our help, we're going to help him to climb with us together to the top. And on the top we get there, it's not dirty at all. It's a holy place. It's clean, it's pure, and it's the highest level a human being can get. So you tell me the difference between climbing to receive the Torah and climbing for your own ego. And I think when I read this story, it's so unbelievable to put things in the right proportion. Ribbono shel Olam, what did you lose there? And on top of this, to see people dying and you don't care? This is the ego. This is our ego. In our parsha is the secret of how to receive the Torah. 12 tribes, 12 princes, each one of them brings a sacrifice. The sacrifice is exactly the same. Before this sacrifice, they bring another offering, which is each two princes bring each one of them an ox and together one wagon, which is very strange. If you want to be oxes and wagons, so everybody can bring two oxes and a wagon. What's so terrible? Instead of 12 oxen, and 6 wagons, you will bring 12 wagons and 24 oxes. What's the problem? But they wanted to show the power of being together. The power of each one of us putting himself and carrying the same wagon. And that's exactly the idea of marriage. A couple. This is what they're supposed to do. You take two strange people. Each one of them has got his own wheels. And together, they are building a home and carrying the wagon of life. they have to go in the same direction. Because if they go to a different direction, the wagon will break or won't move. So this is the first thing that they do. To show God, we are together. We understand that in order to carry the wagon of life, we need to gather together. So each one of us is going to bring one ox, and we're going to be together, two of us, going to be one wagon. But that's not enough. Then they decide, and by the way, the idea is of Netanel ben Tzuar, the president or the prince, the head of the tribe of Yisachar. And he says, let us bring an identical sacrifice. What's the idea behind it? If you remember, I told you, a few times in the past, you know, on Shabbos, a Kiddush, what a Kiddush is, yes, you know. There is a Kiddush from Chezi, and there's a Kiddush from in Antwerp, and I must say, you know, the first time I saw a Kiddush that is over the top was in Antwerp in Belgium. Yeah. Really over the top.
New York.
Did you see in Antwerp? When you see in Antwerp, then we'll talk. Because the Antwerpian have something. They have something, I don't know, something in their head. They had a scratch in their head, I don't know. Because, you see, the problem is, it's like somebody is doing it, and everybody has to copy it. And to be at the same level. Keep up with the Joneses. The problem is, they used to be very rich people there. They were dealing with diamonds in Belgium. The diamond dealers, they were dealing with diamonds, they had a lot of money, and they were, like, you could see candies made like birds, candies, and on trees, and everything you can eat. And, you know, it's, you see the things, you can, this is crazy. The problem is, not everybody's got the money to do it. And now those who were not at that level, but they didn't want everybody to know that they haven't got the money, so they went into debt in order to keep this kiddush. Yes, exactly.
Not in Brazil.
One rabbi, Hasid, decided there are a lot of Jews there, a lot of Hasidim, a lot of group. I don't remember the name of the rabbi, I'm sorry. One day he comes to the congregation and tells them, okay, that's it. From this day on, schmaltz herring, crackers, lekach, this cake, and banana liqueur. That's what they drink.
Banana.
So,
liqueur de banana.
Yeah. So, of course, the rich people of the says, well, no, what do you mean? What do you mean? We want to do something. Probably we have a simcha. We want to have people enjoying themselves. He says, you want to be a part of my congregation? You want to be my Hasidim? That's the way it is. Do you want something else? Oh Hashem. From that day on, till now, I think, that's what's happening there. And do you think, even the rich people are satisfied? Why? Because when you get used to it, they don't have to spend the money. Nobody likes to spend money. And the poor people are even happier, because they don't need to get to this level. Everybody can bring it. And this is the idea of the head of the tribes. We are going to bring the same sacrifice exactly. The poor tribes, the big tribes, the small tribes, the clever tribes, doesn't matter. We all the same. When God saw this, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do with it, by the way. Because they come, he's asking God, what should I do with those sacrifices? Nobody asked them. And God told him, you know, you can bring all the sacrifices in one go. Like when Pesach, everybody comes and brings a sacrifice, and the temple, there was no problem. 100 people, 200 people, they bring the sacrifice, is being sacrificed the same day. But here God says, no. You are going to give to each one of the head of the tribes a special day. Each one of them is going to have a Yom Tov for his own day. And even Shabbos, they're going to sacrifice. And normally on Shabbos you don't bring a sacrifice only if it's a public sacrifice, but not somebody like a personal sacrifice. Nevertheless, the Torah, which is very stingy with words, 12 times repeats the same, not one pasuk. It's 6 or 7 psukim. Repeats it again and again and again and again 12 times. And you can look and you can see it's identical. The Torah could write, this is the sacrifice, and the first day, this tribe brought it. The second day, the other tribe. The third day, the other. No. The Torah is giving us all the details again, again, and again. Why? For us to understand the importance of being together. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not easy. When we look now around and we see what's happening around us, it's not easy today to be religious. It's not easy today to keep Shabbos. It's not easy today to keep mitzvahs, even to keep kashrut. It's not. Why is it not easy? Because people are laughing at us. And those who laugh at us are not goyim. They are Jews like us. And whatever was yesterday not allowed, today is allowed. What was not normal today, yesterday, is today normal. Things are happening around us. People are tolerant to things that never ever was even. Why do I have to have the bedroom of people outside the street? You tell me. I don't care what they do. If they get off the street, why do I need to know what they're doing in their homes? Do we go outside and show everybody what we do in our own house inside?
Especially in Israel.
Eretz Israel, Eretz
Israel is going to be like everyone else.
I write in this week in the Dvar Torah, there is a whole new neighborhood here. Neve Zemer. We can say the name. The old idea of this shchuna was no religious people. There is nothing. Nothing.
Have they got mezuzahs on their doors?
I didn't check if they have or haven't, but that's not the point. I hope they have. But no mikveh, no synagogue, no shul, no nothing.
But a spot deck.
Lever Park is all news. I'm talking about now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm talking, this is unbelievable. To build a neighborhood, a whole neighborhood, with the intention, and they shout Kfiya Datit. They are shouting Kfiya Datit. We are forcing them to be religious.
Yeah.
Do we force anybody to do something? They are forcing us.
They want us to change.
What? You can build a sportek and all the facilities for sports and culture, but nothing for Jewish religious people? What is this country exactly? This is the country of the goyim? Or is the country of Jews?
Well, that's a problem.
What is a Jew? Is it like all the other goyim? Why are we here? Why did we come here? Because people try to kill us because we are Jewish. And in Eretz Israel, the land of the Jews, nobody wants to know about Judaism? Is this normal? Is this forcing somebody doing something? Yes. Forcing us to become not religious. Forcing us to forget where we came from.
But it's Jews who are doing this, not non-Jews.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
This is war.
But you know, when we were living in front of Parsaba Yeruka and opened this, they said they will not build a shoe. It was the project, and they decided not. But Chabad slowly, slowly came in there, and it was parties from...
They're going to build a shul there also, Bezrat Hashem.
But also, they used to
yes,
do...
Yes, Bezrat Hashem.
They used to do on the kikar...
I want us to talk about
on the kikar, Only in Karhabat used to do parties, and all the community with white keepers, this, you know, from Philonia.
I don't know why they didn't send them away and shout Kfiyat Datit.
Are they going to build a shul here?
Yes, they're going to, from what I understand, they're going to be a shul, they're going to give a place, and they're going to build a shul, Bezrat Hashem. Then, this guy there has got a coffee place. I haven't been there. I have to go there. Everybody has to go there.
Yes?
How is it?
Probably is the services though.
But this guy decided one day to be kosher. Closing on Shabbos. They boycotted it.
Is he religious?
Who cares? And they talk about tolerance.
And also the members.
But
it went by the plan.
I took the
Mandarin is very good. Very good. Very good.
Yeah?
Anyway, I'm just looking at what's happening around us. And it's unbelievable.
Look what's happening in Jerusalem.
I don't have to talk about Jerusalem. I've got it here.
Yeah, terrible.
I've got. I don't want to go talk about the mayor. This is unbelievable. You see, the thing is, they shout that we are forcing them to do things. But the real thing is, if you think about it, who is forcing who? They want to force a guy that is, by the way, by law, you're not allowed to open on Shabbos. You need to have special permission to do this. You're not allowed to open on Shabbos. So they want this guy who's really keeping the law. He doesn't want to open on Shabbos. What's the problem? But it's exactly, this is the hypocrites of people that talk as long as, Avraham Avinu said it already years ago to Avimelech. Says, "Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom azeh v'haraguni al varishti." You have everything, but there is one thing missing: the fear of God. And there is no fear of God, you're going to kill me for my wife. In other words, if something is going to affect you personally, as we said, climbing the mountain, we will go and walk on the bodies. We don't care, because we care only about ourselves.
So that's chilul Hashem.
Of course. Of course.
That's what
it's a big chilul Hashem.
Yeah.
From the other side, as we said, they are all a part of Am Yisrael. So it's not easy. We cannot just send them away because they are part of us. It's like cutting your finger off. It's your finger.
But if the finger is with gangrene, what do you do?
You have to try and save it. No?
Eh?
You're going to try and save it. But if you can't, but do you have to try and save it?
Yeah.
You have. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being a part of this whole party. I'm talking about us trying to save it.
Yeah.
Try.
We can't.
At least try.
It just happened.
Because this is our idea. This is the Haftarah HaKamocha. You have to understand that I'm putting up two pictures here.
Thanks.
The important is to understand what is right and what is wrong. That's the first thing. Because if you don't understand what's right and wrong, get away from them as quickly as possible. Because they're going to influence you. Has the influence on, unfortunately, on young people today. Do you think that everybody is gay? Suddenly, instead of 5% and 2%, they become 20%? What happened? It looks like everybody is gay. Every second guy in the street is gay. Is it really like this? No.
Of course not.
It's because it's in. It's fashion. It's the in thing to do. Yes. So everybody's doing it.
Politically correct.
That's a
point. Yeah, this is the way this
is. What is?
Unfortunately,
this is Rabbi the paper yesterday that wants to bring in Talmudic law back. Is there such a thing as Talmudic?
Yes, of course there is. Of course there is. But you see, people should, let's say, keep some people should keep their mouths shut. Because if not everything you think, you have to say. You don't have to say everything you think. That's one of the problems of people nowadays. Anyway.
But last week you said you've got there's the thinkers and the people that think and the people that don't think.
Exactly.
And that's
why
what it's about.
Yes, of course. If we don't think, it's finished. We have to think. So, our parsha is telling us that the way to climb the mountain is together. Of course, not everybody is a part of our life. If you choose to go against the Torah, you are not a part of my life. I will try, if I can, to explain the picture to you and to show you the truth. But if I can't do it, you are not. I don't want you with me, because you're going to corrupt me. We have to understand. It's very easy to get corrupted. Even things that we think that today we're not going to think about it. Believe me, if you go back in years and what was at that time wrong and look at what's wrong in now, you will find out a lot of things we round in them and we accept them and they're not as they used to be. Because that's life. And we have to be careful. And we must not forget for a minute the beautiful blessing that we have in our parasha, Birkat HaKohanim. Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmorecha, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yichuneka, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Yes, it's in our parasha. Let me find it.
After the Softa. Another one.
Yeah,
it's quite a long parasha.
It's a long parasha. I think you passed already.
It's Perek. Perek, I don't know what Perek.
Perek
Vav. Perek Vav. Pasuk
22. 22.
Start 22. Vedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. 23 starts the thing. דבר אל אהרון ובניו לאמור, כה תברכו את בני ישראל, got it? כה תברכו את בני ישראל, אמור להם. יברכך השם וישמרך, יאר השם פניו אליך ויחונקה, יישא השם פניו אליך וישם לך שלום. Not always we see God. God is hidden. And what does it mean is hidden? Somebody sent me a few years ago a film, a nature film. And in this film, you see this tiger in the bushes. And then the camera moves and you see this small baby bear playing. And you see the tiger looks at him, which sees his green eyes. And he jumps out and he runs. And this baby bear runs away. And there is this cliff. There are two cliffs. In between, there is... how do you say Tehom? There is
a valley.
Okay, a deep hole.
And on this is a tree. And this baby bear climbs the tree, running away from the tiger. And then he gets to this very thin
branch.
And the tiger is after him. And then... the branch breaks and he falls down. But fortunately he falls down to the river down there and he holds this piece of wood, but the tiger doesn't stay there. He runs down the hill and he waits for this baby bear
to
come to him. And the baby bear comes to him because the stream takes him there. And he waits for him and he comes there. And then he wants to like to hit him, and he hits him and he scratches him on his face.
The tiger
scratches the face, and he wants like to. And suddenly, the tiger starts running away, and you see the small baby bear standing like this, and you hear this big shout, wah! But then the camera moves back, and you see behind the father, a big grizzly bear, like 3 meters high, 2 meters wide, with a mouth that he can put in half of the tiger in one go. And of course, the tiger runs away. The thing is, when you look at it, you don't see the father bear.
You see
this small thing, and you, first of all, you see that's it. And then when you see the tiger running away, you say, What happened? And then there is another problem. Maybe the baby bear thinks he's the one that scared away the tiger. But the real truth is that who scared away the tiger?
His father.
This is, God is behind everything. We don't have to be afraid from nobody. Now, why do I tell this story this way? In Yom Kippur War, and also in the Six Day War, there were a lot of stories of unbelievable things happening, like people, the enemy starting to run away. Now in Yom Kippur War, they suddenly left everything and run away. In Syria, in the Golan Heights, there was a whole story, like a few tanks came, and they were like, it's unbelievable, they 10 times more. And suddenly they turn around and run away. And when they met a few years later a soldier, he told them, a Syrian soldier, he told them, what do you mean, why we run away? We suddenly saw big figures in the sky, and we understood that there's something here, like God is fighting for you. We run away. Now, all those stories are nice, but my father, Alav HaShalom, told me a story which he was involved in, and this is no story, it's a real thing. In Petah Tikva, when they started this country, we all know there was a war, and the Iraqim and the Jordanians, they were coming from Migdal Tzedek, you know where Migdal Tzedek is? Well, after Petah Tikva, Rosh Ha'ayim, there is Migdal Tzedek, there is this thing, this a hill, and there is this ruins of a castle. Yes, Migdal Tzedek. Migdal Antipatros, yes, that's it. Yes, Migdal Tzedek, yes. So all the soldiers, the enemies were coming, the Jordanian, the Iraqi were coming down the hill, and they sent my father with maybe 10, 20 or 30 soldiers with weapons that hardly shoot. And the officer that he was in charge, called Dinovich, I remember the name till today, he, like on the spot, he died. They just shot him and he died, and he's buried in Petah Tikva in the Chalkat Tzvait. And my father is telling us, suddenly, you know, they're all coming down, and they're standing there like shooting with those few rifles that hardly do anything. And suddenly, they all turned around and run away. My father told me, he says, till today, I don't know what happened. They might have seen something. God has frightened them, I don't know. When he came back to Petah Tikva with a few soldiers who were left from this group, they looked at them as ghosts. Because they knew this is a suicide mission. Nobody can survive this. No, thousands of soldiers against a group of 20 people, 30 people. They don't even know how to fight properly. But our whole existence in this country is a miracle. So sometimes we see the miracles. And sometimes we don't want to see the miracles. Or let's say we see the miracles always. But some of us don't want to see the miracles. They want to wipe out all our tradition, all our history. They call it kfiya datit. And we must not give away. We must tell who we can, our history, and why we're here in this country. This is Eretz Israel. This is the Holy Land. And we are going to receive the Torah. And we're going to try and do it in a nice way. Even though sometimes they hate us. And they behave to us like we are junk. But look around. Look at those successful people. A few years ago, there was this celebrity who, because he didn't get a good place in a show in television, he sent people to hurt other people, other actors, and he committed suicide in jail. I don't want to tell you. You all know him. We all know the name. You all know the guy I'm talking about. There was also a singer, a famous singer, years ago that died from overdosed drugs. He was not the only one, by the way. In other words, when you look around, you see that all those people who live after their desires and get, even if they get to the top, even if they get to the top, they find out that they've got nothing. And nothing is enough for them. They need more satisfaction, more satisfaction. Nothing is enough. And then they need, you know, there's so many psychiatrists.